I'm Travis.
I'm Nate.
And I'm Emily, and you're listening to the Cast and Blast Florida podcast. We are serious outdoorsmen who don't take themselves too seriously.
This week, we're talking about your takes on what defines fair chase in both hunting and fishing. Plus, Nate goes fly fishing, who cares? We get a really bad review, and it's a great day to be alive trends on Instagram. All that and more coming at you right now.
What's new, Travis?
What's new, Joe Exotic?
Coronavirus and Joe Exotic. That's all anyone in the world wants to talk about right now is coronavirus and Joe Exotic. Those are the only two things that seem to be existing in the world that we live in. And Nate, you are not familiar with Joe Exotic. Is this correct?
Well, I did watch one episode last night.
Did you watch the first episode?
And the first episode.
No, we watched the third episode.
And I don't know. I don't know what to feel. I don't know what to think. I'm not sure that I'm not living in like some dream world that just everything's made up and nothing's real. I'm not sure. There's certainly no good people on that show at all. Like, no one is a good person on that show. It's like, you know, Carol likes to think she's good and like wants to come off as good, but she's just as crappy as the rest of them.
Oh, you ain't seen nothing yet, brother.
And I'm not. I don't know if I will. I honestly don't know if I can watch another episode of that, because I just like. It was just...
Do me a favor.
I just sat there. I sat there slack-jawed the entire time. Like, is this a real thing that is in the world today?
I will post this picture.
I'm not sure.
With Emily's permission, I will post this picture in the group at least. She watched the first episode like this with her hands.
He photographed watching it.
It was... Because every time I looked at her, she was in the same position. Like, she just got more and more incredulous as she watched. If you're not familiar with it, it's a Netflix special. It dropped.
It's called Tiger King, and it dropped in the last few months. It dropped in March.
Oh, yeah. It dropped in the last few weeks. Yeah.
And the character we're talking about is the main, I guess you could call him the protagonist, although I think they're all villains, but his name is, he goes by Joe Exotic. And as you could tell by his name, he's quite a character.
It's a train wreck of a show. And can we tease what we did?
Yes. So Kaylee Henderson, who's our sometimes co-host and always friend.
And Nate's sister.
And Travis and I'm Emily. We just recorded today a deep dive into...
Joe Exotic.
No, into Tiger King, the entire series. And that'll come out...
Wednesday.
Tomorrow.
Yep, tomorrow.
Well, we release this episode Tuesday. It'll come out Wednesday.
So there will be a bonus episode. If you're not into that, skip it.
Totes. Also, if you have small children, you're offended by anything, skip it, because we completely unedit ourselves. This is full on explicit Cast and Blast language.
After hours.
Yeah.
So no, it's but that's all anyone wants to talk about is coronavirus and Joe Exotic. Coronavirus and Joe Exotic. And honestly, for as crappy as like, let's not marginalize the coronavirus. Okay. Like, people are sick from it. Joe Diffie died, which.
Saw that.
That's my release, because it's going to be that sucks so bad, because I love Joe Diffie. He died from complications with coronavirus. Like, it's a serious thing out there, guys. And we're not trying to marginalize that. But at the same time, it's like the memes and the GIFs and the internet, the levity that provides right now. It's like if you don't laugh, you're going to cry.
Yeah,
so you may as well
exactly.
have some fun with it.
Exactly. You got to laugh. You got to laugh to keep from going crazy.
What is new with you, Nate?
So, taking my social distancing to heart, I went fly fishing this past weekend for trout for the first time. This is the first time I've done the trout thing.
Ever.
And ask me if the fish were biting.
Were the fish biting, Nate?
I don't have any idea. Couldn't tell you. Because I wouldn't know whether they were biting or not, because I have no idea what I'm doing. I could have been doing everything exactly wrong, and they could have been biting perfectly fine, and I just didn't catch any fish. Or I could have been doing everything exactly right, and they just weren't biting. So I don't really know. I honestly have no idea. But I'm going to try it again soon, and hopefully with different – I'm going to try to talk to some people and see what I did right or wrong or indifferent.
Nate's face right there, I wish everyone could see that. That's my favorite Nate face. Like, it's genuine bemusement as to I have no freaking clue what I'm talking about, what I'm doing.
No clue.
Like just complete no guile or anything in that face. It's complete innocence of I'm just out here throwing a fly, dude, having a good time. Like, get up off me.
Yeah. It was a pretty day. It was sunny. It was warm. The river looked good, and I found some good spots that I thought looked good. And I don't know. We'll see. I have no idea.
That's awesome.
What is... Thank you for the fly fishing update. That's way... I love You're fly welcome. Fishing, Nate, way better than weather, Nate. Emily, what is new with you?
Well, guys, speaking of all of the things, the Tiger King and fly fishing, our podcast, and the coronavirus, we have our very first hater leaving us a review.
Signing their name.
Yeah. So if you listened to last week's episode, which was episode
126,
we did address the coronavirus because it's a huge part of everyone's reality right now. And apparently this listener, I'm not really sure what he heard or like what he wanted to hear, but he says in his review that we called the coronavirus a blessing and said, hopefully all this is for nothing and that we are flat out ignorant and he's never listening to the podcast again. Friends and family, let me tell you, obviously this is not the coronavirus is not a blessing. It's a pandemic. Okay. We understand that. I do stand behind the statement, hopefully this is all for nothing, because
right.
several scientific minds have published this week, and we can link to them in the show notes. They're saying that if the population does social distancing correctly, everyone will think at the end of it, oh, this was really for nothing because nothing happened. Yeah, that's exactly what we're hoping, that nothing
right,
will happen to us or our loved ones by social distancing.
Actually, Nate said that in the podcast that guy wrote the review off of.
Right.
That's almost verbatim what he said.
By the way, this was
pointed at you two. Because
yeah.
I didn't say anything about the
coronavirus. Oh, you didn't even want to talk about it.
I was pretty innocuous.
Come at me, bro.
I would like to say another thing, though, is like anybody who's ever hoped for self-improvement, mental health improvement, personal growth has read about gratitude. There's like a whole movement about gratitude journaling, bullet journaling. You get up in the morning, you list three things you're thankful for. And so anytime you're in the middle of a tragedy, whether that be a death in the family, something's going on with your children, a health issue,
a pandemic,
anything, choosing to flip the script and see a way to be grateful is a wonderful way to reset yourself internally and change the way you're thinking about things, your outlook, and ultimately your mental health. So yes, I will choose to see this as an opportunity to be grateful for new things I've discovered about myself. Obviously, I'm not grateful people are dying or being sick. That's terrible. I don't want anyone to be sick. But there's always a way to change your mindset, change the way you look at things. So yeah, I'm going to continue to do that. And I'm glad that they, you know, exercised their freedom of speech, left us a review. A 1-star review, and they're going to move on with their life. That's great.
Hopefully some of you guys can go leave us 5-star reviews to counteract that, because it is how people find us. And this guy felt strongly
right.
enough about it to want to sabotage that. So
all good, Pedro's all good.
We have not done something in a while, and I think Easter's next week. Nate said earlier before
what
we start recording,
what is happening?
Like we've lost all sense of time and space. Like
no,
no one knows when
all
anything
of a sudden
is.
It's April. We can't fish. It's tarpon season and all the boat ramps are closed.
So in honor of Easter and going back to our roots and just trying to have a good time for you guys, we are going to do a very quick mini draft. Game is the foot. And this week's mini draft is Easter candy. We drew straws backstage. Nate got the first pick. Nate, first pick, first and annual inaugural Easter candy draft for the Cure.
Yeah, the only first pick that anybody should ever take ever in this draft is the Reese's egg. It's the best way to eat a Reese's, and
it is.
And there's just no question about it. It's the best candy out there, period. End of discussion. Next pick.
Did we do this draft before? Do you recall?
I feel like we have, but we can resurrect it.
I feel like
no
we've talked
deal.
About the Easter. The,
we
the
can egg. Resurrect it. Oh.
Wow.
Easter draft. Oh, yeah.
My first pick, because I'm decided I'm next, is the Snickers egg.
Oh.
It is a perfect encapsulation.
No.
Of a Snickers bar, and it has a different ratio of chocolate to caramel to nougat to nut, and I think it should not be underrated. It can't be overrated. It's
properly rated.
It's everything for me
okay.
in these times. I'm leaving a 5-star review for Snickers eggs.
I don't even know what to say.
There
to
you
what
go.
You just said that's how crazy that was. I'm going the Cadbury mini eggs. So these are the ones we ate the other day that are so delightful and delicious.
They don't
these
have
are not
anything
the ones,
gooey.
Yeah, these are not the ones with the gooey nougat center. These are the ones that are like, they're like a glorified overgrown M&M on steroids. And specifically, you want the dark chocolate ones. Like if you're doing it right, if you're living your life right, you want the dark chocolate ones because they are like they got a hard candy shell and then, oh my God, so good.
Listen, ladies and gentlemen, don't send Travis out for pandemic supplies because he's going to come home with two bags of Cadbury eggs and some air freshener.
Emily, hold on. Brand wise for the podcast, they're going to think that's on brand for you. That's what I come home with. Like if I come home with six boxes of Little Debbie's and a pack of hot dogs and some Cadbury mini eggs, they're going to be like, he did all that for Emily. Obviously he loves her.
Dang it. I have nothing to say to that.
All right, Nate, second pick.
I'm going to go the actual Cadbury eggs because I actually like the stuff in the middle of those things.
I know
it's like a very
egg.
Egg, yeah.
Yeah, it's very controversial. I get it. It's like very, it's not as popular as one would think, but I actually like them. So that's my second pick.
What do you got, Em?
Second pick is Starburst jelly beans.
Dang it.
Entire bags till your mouth is raw and your jaw falls off your skull.
That is the best
jelly
bean. The whole thing.
Of all the jelly beans, that's the best jelly
bean. Can't
beat it. 100%. 100%. Okay, I'm going the solid chocolate Easter bunny, preferably Dove.
Yeah.
But the solid chocolate one. So then
right. Not the hollow one.
And essentially what you're doing is in this pandemic time, you are equipping yourself with chocolate scrapings for making like chocolate chip pancakes and stuff for the next 5 years. Because you're never going to sit down and eat this because diabetes, right?
There are chocolate bunnies sitting in people's houses that are like 18 years old, guaranteed.
100%.
I still have my first chocolate bunny somewhere. Like that's how long it would take to eat.
Travis. No one believes that would
be. That would be from the 40s. All right. Last pick, Nate. What do you got? Last pick.
I'm going to take my last pick and just, can we all agree that Peeps should be burned and disintegrated
forever and ever? Thing they're good for is Peep Wars inside the microwave where you stick a toothpick in and somebody wins.
Right. Yeah. So I'm taking my last pick to tell people how bad Peeps are.
Wow. That was a bold move.
It was a bold move. My last pick is hot tamales. A box of hot tamales all day long. They are spicy like our risen Lord. They are spicy like our risen Lord.
Wow. Don't like that.
Come at me.
Don't like that at all.
You can't refute that without denying Jesus, Peter. And you don't want to do that. You already did it three times.
Okay.
Dang.
I don't even know how to come back from that. But I am going to... My last pick in the Easter draft would be Sixlets. Do you know what those are?
Mm.
The only time I ever ate them was at Easter.
You get those out of the treat jar at school if you did a good thing. You didn't get a black mark.
You had better teachers than I did. They're kind of like
a tiny package of round chocolate orbs. Tiny. And you would like bite it and slide it out the package.
Yeah,
you didn't have to open it. You just like.
It'd be perfect pandemic snack.
It would be. Oh, I was just thinking that.
You put like the package in your mouth and like pulled the package out and all the candy was in your mouth.
Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
I know what you're talking about.
But they're chocolate, so they're like mini M&Ms. Every snack I like is like M&Ms.
Notice that?
Basically, I want M&Ms.
Some variable on M&Ms.
Before we get into our big idea about Fair Chase, we do need to pay a bill, and the way we pay bills for this episode is with our good friend, Fletcher Hallett Insurance, who may not want this ad anymore. 904-315-5812. You can call or text Fletcher Hallett with Hallett Insurance. A lot of our listeners have already done that. They've reached out to him for quotes on their boat insurance, their home insurance, their business insurance, their life insurance, any and all of the insurances. Were you going to jump in?
Nope.
Okay. But we've said this repeatedly. I feel like a broken record a little bit when I say it sometimes, but Fletcher is a friend of the show. He's a real deal. He's one of us. He's a hunter. He's a fisherman. He gets it. He gets the nuance in protecting the stuff that we love and that we have to protect, our loved ones, our toys, the whole nine yards. So if you could reach out to Fletcher, you can give him a call. You can shoot him a text, 904-315-5812.
Double the L's and double the T's. Hallett for all your insurance needs.
Yeah.
So I posited the question, what is Fair Chase? Do you like the word posited? Are you proud of me for that?
I'd be happier if you were depositing something.
Dang.
That, yeah. By that, wow. I mean money.
The way I wrote the question was, as hunters, we often talk about fair chase. What is the quality that makes the hunt fair? What does that mean to you? Is there a fishing equivalent to fair chase? So that's what I wrote out there. Do we want to read through some responses before we talk about our own positions on this? Because I think the responses can give it to us.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can start. So Lindsay Rowland had a really great response.
It's a long response, but it's really good.
This is from the Florida Hunters Network group on Facebook. She says, I fly fish 75% of the time or use a lure, except if I'm offshore, because I feel like bait is cheating or so easy it's boring. Something a lot more fun or challenging about trying to trick a fish into eating a fly that you tied. Not only does it have to look like prey, but you have to move it convincingly. I think my affinity for making things harder for myself, like fly fishing, drew me to hunting with bows more over firearms. Not to knock guys who hunt over corn, but I've never hunted over bait. I public land access only, and I feel similarly about it as I do with fishing. I'm sure if I was on a lease where I could hunt a feeder, I would feel differently. I'd probably also kill a lot more animals. Room to get away, reasonable pound test. They're naturally and in normal numbers versus overstocked pond or a high fence. I bend the barb down a lot of the time if I'm not planning to keep fish. Easy release, and you better not have slack in your line or the fish is gone. Depending on species, not fishing during spawn or pulling fish off beds, mostly for salmonids?
Yes.
And trout.
That was a good answer. What do you think of that? Do you have any takes on that, Nate? Do you have any thoughts on that?
I think it's a great answer. She hit a lot of the points of ethics and fair chase that a lot of people talk about, especially like in Florida. You know, bait versus artificial, fly versus conventional, you know, baiting versus not baiting, or, you know, bow versus gun. I mean, this is all part of the whole conversation.
I also like that she said if she was on a lease where she could hunt a feeder, she would feel differently. I feel like that's a pragmatic way to look at this. It's easier to... It's almost the same way as when you ask for a gun recommendation, we all recommend the gun that we shoot every day, whether we like it or hate it. Like, my gun jams like 5 times a season, but right. I'm going to recommend it because that's the gun I shoot. So I want you to have the same thing I have because it validates me. I think there's a little bit of that in that conversation too, right? Like, if you hunt over private land, you have access to feeder or whatever. If you're a bait fisherman, I'm a bait fisherman quite a bit. I could defend bait fishing in this conversation. So who you got the next one, Nate?
Yeah. Trey Knight on the Cast and Blast group said, I don't personally think there is a hunt that is quote unquote fair for the animal. Your bullet or arrow is typically faster, thus an advantage. To me, it's removing as many hunter quote unquote advantages as possible while still providing the ability for quick and humane harvest. No fences to limit the boundaries or bait to keep the animal in a particular area are two that I think of quickly.
Yeah, I thought Trey actually hit the nail on the head with this. He hit as close to what I was looking for as possible. As far as we use the term fair chase, is that really the right term? Because is it fair? Like, a human should be able to outwit most animals.
Right.
Right? Theoretically?
Theoretically, yes.
I took an excerpt from... So both Trey Knight and Ryan Briggs, we have given assistant to the co-producer status before. Does this get them back into that level, you think? Are all these people now assistant to the co-producer?
Maybe executive assistant to the executive producer.
Okay, I'm down. So Ryan Briggs, he wrote a really long, thoughtful reply, but the thing I took kind of off the top of his was, I think of a lot of the replies you'll get depend on where people are in their journey as a sportsman, which I think is kind of to Lindsay's point. She was talking about methods, which when we talked about the stages of a sportsman, we went all the way through, I forget the order because we haven't done that in a long time, but it was the shooter, the limit seeker, the trophy taker, the method person, then the sportsman. And so those upper two, like, you can kind of vacillate back and forth. And Ryan went on in his comment to talk about he's further along on his fishing journey than he is on his hunting journey because he grew up fishing. And he's only been hunting for 10 or 12 years. So it's a little bit of a different thing. And that plays into the next comment you got, Nate, which is from Uncle
right.
Tim.
From Uncle Tim on the Cast and Blast group. He said, I've come to a point in life where fishing and hunting trips are more about experiences with family and friends, not so much about the harvest, especially when a great meal is involved.
That's pretty on brand for Uncle Tim, right? To drop
Absolutely.
A meal in there.
Yep, absolutely.
We haven't had an Uncle Tim mentioned in a while.
It's been a while. Good to have him back on the podcast.
Good to have him back. But I also think he hits a nail on the head because that's the true sportsman mentality, right? That you get there,
right,
and you don't care so much about the harvest. You care about the journey and the experience and everything else.
So another comment from Jay Wallace. Fairness is lost with the sportsman's experience. Your first outing, the game has the advantage. As you learn habitats, study reactions to the moon, the weather cycles, and begin to pattern game, and you can get them within range, they lose the leading edge.
I think that's a good comment.
So can we like backtrack just like for a minute?
Yes.
I feel like we just went hard into this, but I was reading an article in a magazine about a guy who was kayaking down a river, and he was really kind of going on and on about the flora and the fauna and the experience he was having. But he said this quote that like messed me up when I read it. And he said, that's why I chose to hunt here. It's hard. It's fair. It's isolated. And that just got me thinking, like, why do we like that? It's hard and it's fair. And what does that give you?
I think it gives you a greater sense of accomplishment when you achieve success, whatever success looks like.
Right.
So success could be harvesting an animal. Success could be, you know, catching a fish, catching this something or other. To make it hard, to make it isolated, it's just you and the animals or you and the fish. There's no outside influence whatsoever. And so we as humans like that feeling of just like mano a mano, like, mm-hmm, let's just go at it. And then the feeling of great accomplishment when you achieve the goal you have set forth. So I think that's kind of where that comes from. It's just this very like, you know, mano a mano type me against nature,
mm-hmm,
type of feeling.
You know what I like about it is that I think that this belies a nuance that maybe like blows PETA out of the water, because just the fact that hunters or outdoorsmen would approach it by saying, I want it to be hard and I want it to be fair and I'm okay with it being isolated, it means that there's a respect for the game. And you're saying,
right,
that I acknowledge that I'm not just smarter than you and I'm here to make you suffer. It's I'm here equally with you and I want to see if I can win. And if I don't win, it's okay. I like that it's hard.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
I think that's the whole thing. I think you summed that up really well.
Thanks.
The last comment that I wanted to put in from the group, we had a couple more on there, but I'll do one more, was from Benjamin Fulford. And he wrote this really great comment where he basically agreed with Trey Knight with the comment Nate did a minute ago. And he said, I'm going to cut to the near the end. He says, we would all own an outdoor mecca if we could. You know, we'd manage the habitat, this, that, and the other. But we glass over miles and miles with spotting scopes that can clear as day, show you craters on the moon, and trail cameras are in the woods night and day because we can't be. Our brains have developed for us to create gear that gives us the advantage over whatever we're chasing. That's not to say we can't also be ethical hunters, however. So maybe that is the new definition for fair chase. Fair chase is a balance of advantage and ethics to successfully pursue and harvest our prey.
I love that.
I did too.
Yeah, it's really good. That's really good.
Again, because it's just acknowledging the fact that you respect the animal and you want it to be a fair fight. I love that.
And actually, you should do Dennis's. We've
sure.
got Dennis Dutcher's comment on there too.
He says, fair chase is more about ethical harvest, in my opinion. Is it ethical to play down 150-pound tarpon on light tackle just to claim to be a sportsman? What a thrill to put it through an exhausting and near-death fight for its life so you can claim to be an accomplished angler, or using a small caliber or small gauge gun to harvest game but have the potential to cripple because you're sporting.
I think that's a good point too, Nate, don't you?
I totally agree. Yeah, absolutely.
Like the idea is you could kill a deer with a 22.
Yeah.
But do you
but
run
should,
the risk?
But should you?
Right.
But should you? Like, Robert Ruark is famous for saying, use enough gun, right? I think he wrote a book about using enough gun.
Yeah.
And so, like, this is kind of the same thing. Use enough tackle, use enough blah, 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 whatever, to give the animal the respect it deserves and a clean, ethical harvest it deserves. Or a clean, you know, if you're going to let the tarpon go, fight it for 10 minutes, get it to boat side, cut the line and go. Like, you know, let's be smart about this. Like, are you a bigger, more accomplished, like he said, are you more accomplished because you used 20-pound test line on this tarpon and fought it for 3 hours? Is that more accomplished,
right,
than someone who used an 80-pound test line and fought it for 20 minutes and got it to the boat. Like, what is the more ethical way of doing things? And I do like mm-hmm. his comment a lot.
You guys have anything to add to this? Like, I think the listeners, the users, the people in the groups really summed this up pretty well. Like, they gave me the answer.
Yeah.
Emily asked me this question this morning. I was like, okay, well, let's throw it out there and see who bites on it. And I was really proud of the feedback we got on it because it was pretty consensus on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, and I will make a comment towards the there's no such thing as fair. I think even with all of our advantages and all of our equipment and technology and the things we use, 9 times out of 10, I go into the deer woods, I come back empty-handed still. Even with all this fancy equipment, mapping systems, trail cameras, bino harnesses, and, you know, 9 times out of 10, I still go home empty-handed. So this idea that it's never fair, if it was never fair, we'd always have some kind of advantage. We'd always have some kind of opportunity or some kind of, you know, we'd shoot a deer, or we'd limit out on ducks, or we'd, you know, catch 50 fish in a day, or, you know, more times than not, I have bad, quote unquote, bad days as far as like harvesting goes.
Yep.
Then I do good days. So I want to, like, this idea of it's not fair. It's there's no such thing as fair. I think the animals are still going to outsmart you because they know the land like the back of their hand. They know the water like the back of their hand. They know how to get away from you. They want to get away from you. Their survival instinct makes them want to get away from you. So, you know, I think I kind of just challenged the idea that there's no such thing as fair.
Interesting. I like that take.
I like it too. I actually like wrote down while you were talking about the Darwinian evolution theory, right? Survival of the fittest. So if you have to assume when you walk into the woods that if it made it this far and you made it this far, there's a lot of equal ground there.
Right.
You know, obviously it's specific to habitat, but anyway.
And I didn't give much context to the question.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I posited it, because fair is different to you than it is to me. Mm-hmm. It is to it is to whoever.
Right.
So we all kind of interpret that our same way. I think everyone is, I feel like everyone is right in this conversation. Like there's a lot of,
there is no like 100% right answer. Right. And there's no 100% wrong answer because it's everybody's ethics and everybody's fairness is different. Fair for someone who can't get around is being wheeled or, you know, helped to a ground blind, like a heated ground blind over a food plot or and to shoot a deer. Like that's fair for them.
Right.
Fair for me. Like, you know, I'm able to get around. Maybe I don't want to hunt over a feeder, or maybe I don't want to hunt over a food plot, or maybe I only hunt public land, or maybe I only bow hunt, or, you know, it's just different for everybody. And so find what you think is fair for you and ethical for you. And as long as it's ethical toward the animal, I mean, go for it, you know?
That's a good spot to wrap that up, I think.
I think so.
We are bringing back... Thank you, Nate. I feel like you carried that segment for us. We are bringing back show favorite, keep and release, and beginning... Ooh. Yes?
May I insert a statement?
Yes, you may.
We had a listener reach out and say, hey, like, when you guys do keep and release, that's a sponsored, right? Nope. This segment is... Nothing that we note as a keep or a release is a sponsored item.
Correct. So like a few weeks back, Emily kept some shoes. That was her thing that she kept.
Yeah, I got some new OnCloud shoes and I was like, these shoes are bomb. If you need some new shoes for working out, get a pair. That was not sponsored. That's just me telling you things I love. I don't think we will ever have sponsored items in that segment because we really truly care about the integrity of what we recommend.
Correct. And in fact, that's what I was about to tease up is keep and release the segment. Has a title sponsor.
Yeah, but so, they're not telling us what the things are we can
correct.
Talk about.
No, we still get to pick our own keeps and releases, but beginning next week, Carrie Bible with Two Fish Creative is going to be sponsoring the keep and release segment.
I got to write a jingle.
Yeah, we're going to have a call this week. We're going to set up a call with you and Carrie this week, but that's coming. So this is keep and release has been on hiatus since the end of the year. It's back now. It's coming back with a vengeance, and Two Fish Creative will be sponsoring this segment moving forward, but they will not be picking the items that are in it. Those come from us, and those are not sponsored items when
ever,
you pick them.
Ever, ever, ever.
So With that said,
most of the time it's not items anyway.
Yeah, a lot of times it's super ethereal stuff or whatever. Releases, Nate. I'm going to go first because I already teed this up earlier. Joe Diffie died. Man, what a blow! Like,
prop him up beside the jukebox.
Oh my God! Like, too soon, but. What a great, like, he was such a great country artist. Like, that made me sad when I saw that.
Yeah. And if you don't know who Joe Diffie is, I guarantee you, you know one of, or eight of his songs.
Yeah.
Because they are everywhere. John Deere Green, Pickup Man, Prop Me Up Beside the Jukebox. Like,
Ships
it
That
goes
Don't Come
on
In.
And, yeah. Oh, it goes on okay. and on.
Like,
yeah.
He was just such a good singer. And, like, I don't know when he came on the scene, maybe the late 80s, early 90s. But man, he was so good, and he was never Alan Jackson, Garth Brooks, George. Like, he was never that caliber. But he had some really, really good songs.
Great man. Songs, great,
really
songs.
Really good songs. So I would equate him maybe to, in his time, maybe like Toby Keith,
Clint Black.
Yeah, like he was just solid, yeah. man. He was just solid. So that was really sad. I'm releasing that. Country music's had a bad year so far with Kenny.
Yeah,
Rogers
him
and Joe
Kenny
Diffie.
Rogers in the last like month, man. It's tough.
So somebody get a lock on Willie Nelson.
Woof.
No.
Whoa.
Dark.
Too soon.
Too soon. All right. Em, what are you releasing?
I don't have a release.
Yeah, you do.
What? We already talked about the new review. I don't even care enough about that to release it, but I'll give you something positive. Today, the day we're recording this, is my parents, I believe it's their 40th wedding anniversary today.
Can we release Very the nice. Fact that you don't know which anniversary it is?
Well, there's some argument about how long they were married before I was born.
Okay.
And I don't really want to get in the middle of that.
Yeah.
So
no, there's some discord there.
It's around 40-ish years.
40-ish. That's good.
Congratulations,
it's a long time.
To Rob and
it's
Cindy.
A long time. And to be married in the time of quarantine is a whole nother thing.
Yeah.
You're about to be there. Yep. You're about to be there. Anyway, congratulations, Rob and Cindy. I love you.
Oh, that was sweet. Broke all the release rules. Nate, what is your release?
My release is pollen, just pollen. Right now in Georgia, yeah, if you look outside, that's not fog, that's not rain, that's not clouds, that's literally pollen falling out of trees. You can see it in the air.
Ooh.
You can sit outside for like 5 minutes, and if you have your phone sitting on the table, you can see it start to collect on your phone.
No.
And I'm not allergic to pollen. Thank God I'm not allergic to pollen. But I wake up in the mornings stuffed up with a scratchy throat because I've been breathing it in all day, and it's just, it's gross, and it makes your car all green and stuff, and it's just not that much fun. So hopefully another couple of weeks we'll be done with it.
At least there's nothing else in the world health-wise that presents with
right.
symptoms like that that could cause
right.
that to
exactly.
be
That's the
you.
Problem. This is the worst time for this virus to be going on because everybody's got allergies, and so anytime anybody has any type of something, you're just like, oh, get away from me, you know? So,
is it oak tree pollen or is it pine tree pollen? Is it both?
It's oak,
it
mostly.
Is? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, our pine trees haven't seemed to pollen out very much, although we don't have as many on our property as we
they
used to.
They bloom at Easter. You know, they get the little crosses.
They get the little
on
crosses.
Them, so.
Okay, keeps.
Oh my God, I have a great keep that I'm so excited about.
Okay. I'm going to let you go first on the keeps.
Thanks. If you have Netflix, there's a new Netflix comedy special out by a female comedian. Her name's Taylor Tomlinson. It is 100% worth watching. Travis and I laughed out loud many, many times, and we are very, very tough critics.
Yeah, I don't like comedy specials.
She's not political, which is really nice.
She is not appropriate.
She is not appropriate. She does drop some language. She's a little bit blue, but... very funny. Was so happy to watch that and just get some like levity in these times when everything feels so heavy that you're seeing, especially if you just watched Tiger King. My God. So get down with Tiger King and then just go cleanse your mental palate with Taylor Tomlinson.
It's pretty funny. She's pretty funny.
She's cute too.
Yeah, no, she's cute. We had that debate. I wasn't sure she was cute or not.
Yeah, we're like 20 minutes into it and Travis is like, is she hot? I think she might be hot. I'm like, she's totally hot.
I wasn't
like
sure.
Hillary Swank in the yeah. Office episode.
It's yeah. exactly right. My keep is, have you ever heard of Grumpy Duck Company, Nate?
I have not, actually.
Okay. This is a great item. I know it's hard times for everybody right now, but If you're looking for a great Father's Day, Mother's Day, birthday gift, and you got a shotgun shooter in your family, they make bolt handles, or what I always called them, charging handles. But they make the little handles. You know the little thing that goes on the side of like a semi-automatic gun?
Yeah.
So you can slide the action back?
Right.
But they make them, and they're custom made, and they have duck bands on them. And so they're really, really cool. They're like 50, 60 bucks, give or take, depending on the color and the polish and everything that you get. But it's a small company. Like, this is what they do. It's a side hustle. It's a, like I said, it's right in the sweet spot on that gift idea.
Right.
For a Father's Day, Mother's Day, birthday type situation. Grumpy Duck Company. I'll put a link to their website. I found them on Instagram, so it was Grumpy Duck. Grumpy. This is hard to say.
Careful.
Grumpy Duck Co. on Instagram, but I'll find their website and put a link to that in the show notes. Like I said, it's a pretty neat product. I thought it was really cool. If you wanted to have a little customization on your gun, I'd never heard of them. I just saw them.
No, yeah, day. That's cool. I'm definitely going to look them up.
Mindlessly scrolling. Nate, what is your keep? You got the last keep. You're taking us out of here.
My keep is all the beautiful voices and singing that happens in the Great Day to Be Alive video with a ton of
good
listeners, and it was so great. Thank you all for participating. It was so much fun. And well, how many people did we have in that video?
We ended up counting AJ's little baby, who's was born right before duck season, so he's, what, 6 months old, 5 months old? Counting him, I think we were at 71 people, 71 or 72 people. 14 people had their dogs in it. So there were 14 dogs.
There was a cow.
And then Cheyenne, our good friend Cheyenne LaVar.
Right, right.
They had Moonshine, or no, Fireball is that cow's name. They had Fireball in it. So just how cool was that?
It was so much fun, man. It's so cool.
Oh, and underrated, your opening line of "I got rice cooking in the microwave," where you throw the rice in and slam the door.
Perfectly timed.
So good. I loved it. It made me laugh.
I worked for at least 5 minutes on that.
So, like, I feel bad even calling some out because so many people, like, put so much effort into that. But Ryan Briggs was the guy in the whatever costume that was, the Raven
right.
of Death.
Like the plague, God. The plague costume. Yeah.
Cale Payne, one of the Savage Fowlers waterfowl guys. Cale Payne was the one where it was like really close,
up close
on his
and personal.
There were just Dean Gerber. Did you see that he had Ray Dunn on all the ingredients?
Yeah, he had Ray Dunn and like the homemade soup thing. It was so good.
Fletcher Hallett of Hallett Insurance. Fletcher had, he was looking through binoculars, but we cut it out because Emily was very funny about the rhythm of the song. It had to match exactly right. So him looking through the binoculars got cut out because he didn't have a bino harness. But then Steve Whittem in his clip did have a bino harness.
Had a bino harness. That's right.
There were just so many little Easter eggs in there. Lots of dogs, lots of Cast and Blast shirts. I don't know if you saw some of those cycle through.
Yes. Yeah. Several of those.
So sweet.
God, it was so good. Thank you guys so much for doing that. Like, I smiled. Emily and I sat down and made it in like 10 minutes once we got all the clips. Like, this did not, it wasn't something we poured over for.
No. Well, it was really good quality to start with. So we like, it was easy to put it together. So thank you everybody for submitting. But
it took a minute to organize by lines, but we just really, we randomly assigned lines. Like Emily and Kaylee called out names to me and I just threw names in as we went down the list. There was no rhyme or reason to it, really. And
like most things that we turn
like
out.
Most things we do, but I feel like the number was getting close to 10,000 views between all social medias, so that was a big deal, man. That was,
it's big time.
I very
big time.
Proudly sent it to my parents so they could see it, and my dad goes, "Is this a country western song? He's never heard the song in his life."
Country west, the fact that he said country western song, yeah.
He listens to straight, like, gospel. That's all he listens to. So, like, it was just so cute to me.
And occasionally Jimmy Buffett. The But, no, it was just such a great video. It was such a great community project. So, we had a good time doing that with everybody. If this thing carries on, maybe we'll do something like that again. Who knows? The other thing I'll tack on really quick was, did you see Courtney Martin's do an art contest for kids? And she's been sharing those on the Cast and Blast group. So, if you have... I forget the age limits on something, but she's got different categories and you can enter your kids. And she's basically giving you the blank drawing. It's one of her paintings and letting the kids color it. And then the winner gets like an art set, like colored pencils
cool.
or crayons or whatever,
yeah.
whatever people color with. I'm butchering this, but thought that was a really cool program. Like, it's good to see, I'm seeing music artists do like live on their patio and people streaming that and stuff. So it's just good to see some community come out of this.
Right.
As crappy as everything is, like it's good to see some positive stuff. And so thank you to everyone that participated in that. If you didn't get to participate in it, we'll make sure we circle you in on the next one. because it was completely random.
Yeah, and if you want us to know who you are, come join our Facebook group, Cast and Blast Florida, the group on Facebook.
I think that's all I got, Nate.
Stay woke.
Stay woke.
Thank you so much for listening this week. We hope you enjoy the show as much as we enjoy making it. If you like what we're doing, there's lots of ways to support us, but this week we're asking you to share the show with someone you think would enjoy it. Word of mouth is the best and most authentic marketing tool we have, so if you get the chance this week, please share the show with your friends. We also have another great idea. We want you to tag us in your social media posts with hashtag WhileICastAndBlast and tell us what you're doing while you listen to the show. Fishing, turkey hunting, quarantining, social distancing, anything goes. You have a great week.